I have exciting news, folks. Our fourth annual Toy Photographers Meetup is just around the corner. Join me, Shelley Corbett, Brett Wilson, and other photographers from around the world on Memorial Day weekend, May 25th to 28th. We'll spend 4 days visiting the beaches and forests in Astoria, Ecola State Park, Crescent Beach, Cannon Beach, Hug Point State Park, and Oswald State Park. Registration for the meetup is now open. Those who register will not only get the chance to meet and shoot alongside photographers from around the world, but you'll also be able to participate in a white elephant gift exchange and photo exchange, and daily photo contests with prizes. You'll also receive a custom minifigure created by Crash Override and a limited edition Toy Photographers t-shirt designed by Zeke Zach Zoom. Don't delay because accommodations in the area will go quickly. You can find all of the details and the sign-up link on our website, toyphotographers.com. I can't wait to see you guys there. You're listening to the Toy Photographers Podcast, the official podcast of toyphotographers.com. I'm James Garcia, and on this show, I talk to photographers around the world who are turning Lego, action figures, miniatures, custom creations, and more into amazing works of art. On this week's show, I talk to a guest who's been on the podcast a few times now, Swedish photographer Christina Alexanderson. This episode was actually recorded just before the new year. Christina and I really hit it off, and it was at the end of this recording that we came up with the idea for the monthly themed episodes that she now co-hosts. In this interview, Christina and I talked about a lot of things, like how she began kidnapping her children's toys to use in her photography, our mutual love for stormtroopers, the various pros and cons of taking photos every single day for a 365 project, and much more. Maybe it's the American in me, but I always thought Sweden would be a really cool place to live. Do you like it up there?
Yeah, it has been a good day today. We have only about light between 9 in the morning until maybe 2:30 in the afternoon, so we don't have so much light, but today it's been sunny and really nice wintry weather, so a good day in the winter today. But most days are really grey and awful this time of the year. We don't have any light at all. It's dark when we go up and it's dark when we go home from work.
Yeah,
so it's good and bad.
Yeah, and I guess that's tough for your photography, right? Because you shoot so much with natural lighting.
Yeah, I mostly do natural lighting, actually. I prefer doing it outside. I prefer working I work in a rather slim, narrow context, but I prefer to do it outside. But when I work or in the fall and actually in the spring, I usually don't have the time to, or I've done a 365 project this year, so I've done a lot of shooting in my kitchen with a flash in a really, really slim and small studio. It is kind of nothing. It's a piece of paper and a small flash. When I do photography inside, I usually do black and white because then I don't have to, the colors don't have to matter at all.
Oh, so I like that. That's smart.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good way to actually move around the limitations to do it in black and white.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very smart. I'm sure that was something you picked up over time. Like, hey, wait a second.
But it's a way to get the colors to work, because the white balance is always hard to work when you have different light sources, and you kind of get different light sources working inside, even though a flash kind of blends everything out. But I use a purple backdrop, and I don't think the purple color is so nice or so beautiful, so I prefer black and white.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So let's wind it back a little bit. How did you first get into photography?
I think I always have done some sort of photography from when I was a really small child. I've always taken pictures, and I've always been interested in images, not always photography, but imagery. I love looking at imagery. I love being able to do images, but I'm not a person that can paint or draw, so photography became the medium that I actually could do or visualize my images that I had in my head or that I saw with the technique or the tool became photography. And I have always taken pictures, but I don't have the need always to look at the images, not right away. So when I did the analog photography, it mainly became photos that kind of went in the box somewhere hiding or in my own store. I didn't need to show it to anyone. So with the digital era and the internet, it kind of blossomed, because then the opportunity to show people or to talk about photography became an opportunity that didn't exist when I only put my photographies in my back drawer. Mm-hmm. Or did it for my own purpose. I do that still. Photography is mainly for myself, but the internet and the social media made it possible to see what other people did, and I got really inspired by looking at other people's images. And I worked as a teacher, so I used images of my students to actually connect with their parents. So when we had parents' meeting, they had to pick up a picture of their own child, and in that context we could talk about the children, and every parent had that image of the children in their class or in their children's class. So it's been a tool for me working, but also a tool for me expressing my own way of looking at the world and thoughts I have around being a human.
How did that morph into toy photography? When did you start photographing toys as your main subject?
It started when I worked as a teacher until 2010, but the last year when I worked as a teacher, I kind of started using a blog as a tool in my teaching. And part of that, I came in contact with something called Creative Commons, and a big issue working with or making schoolwork public was that you couldn't use other people's images. So Creative Commons was a tool to actually find people good photography and use it in the context of schoolwork. And among those photographers that I really fell in love with was a French guy. His name is Stéphane Delou, and he made this amazing 365 project with two stormtroopers. I think it was in 2009 and 2010 maybe, and he put it on Flickr, and he had a Creative Commons license on it, and I really totally fell for the idea that people were able to play with toys and document they're playing with them and make a huge project of it, and also make it available for others to use and reuse and share it with others. So the idea of being able to play with toys and actually share with others was one of the ideas that made me start. So I actually started looking at his images and thinking, oh, can I do that as an adult?
Yeah.
Or can't I? Is it possible or is it a taboo? And if it is a taboo, I really want to try and see what happens if I start playing with these toys and making stories around them and sharing them online. So it started with me actually not buying toys to myself, but buying toys to my children and kidnapping them and making a project around those toys.
I like that. The word kidnapping is very specific there.
Yeah, it actually was that. We were going on holiday to my husband's parents, who lives on the south side of Sweden, and I was driving through Sweden with my children, and we stopped in the grocery store, and I said, don't you want these toys? Because I think they would be amazing if we want to do these Stéphane images, I said to my boys. And they looked at me and said, I'm not sure I want those. And I said, yes, I think you want them. And they had to pick them out. And then I kidnapped them. So
since then, have you decided to just buy toys for yourself and not pretend that they're for your kids?
Yes. Yeah, I buy toys for myself, but I still buy toys for the children and kind of borrow them. It's it's a habit of mine, I would say. I don't like buildings, so the children, if I buy Lego, the children actually are the ones building the sets, mm-hmm. and I take the minifigures and or the props that I want and use them in my photography.
Speaking of minifigures and props, you shoot a lot with teddy bears, Star Wars minifigures, like I know you're doing a whole thing about Leia this year, and stormtroopers. Can you talk about why specifically you use those as your subjects?
The stormtrooper actually started with Stefan, and he used this stormtrooper, and I thought I was so fond of his imagery, so I really wanted to do almost the same stuff as he did, mm-hmm. even though I really soon realized I don't do it as well as he does it, or I don't do it in his context. I'm not funny in that way. He kind of take these real stormtroopers and put them on Earth and in our environment, or working with computers or internet, and I really could feel that they were really close to his ordinary life. And when I took my stormtrooper, and my children didn't buy stormtroopers, they bought clone troopers because they didn't have any stormtroopers, but when I bought a stormtrooper, I fell in love with his shoes, or they are kind of like, boots? Mm-hmm. They are really, really amazing, almost like female shoes. So when I realized I really loved his shoes, and the first image I took of the stormtrooper is actually of his shoes, and the shoes has come back to as a red thread through those stormtrooper images. But then the stormtrooper became a symbol. I'm not really a big Star Wars fan. I've never really been a person knowing anything about the saga before I started using Star Wars toys in my photography. But his helmet, the story around the helmet, I don't know if you know that, but as part of being really interested in Creative Commons, I really became obsessed with copyright. And there is a copyright story about the helmet.
I didn't know that. Really,
yeah, but you have to know that, because if you know that, I actually fell in love with the helmet as well, because all the mold, all the plastic, all the details in the stormtroopers are so really well done. And the figure or the mask or the uniform, it was created by an Englishman. And when the Star Wars, when the new series came in the beginning of the 2000, he started to remake the uniform to sell it online. But he actually got sued by George Lucas and the Star Wars company because of copyright infringement. But not like most people, he didn't just settle and said, oh, I will stop making these uniforms. He actually met them in court in England, and it went to court, and the court came to the conclusion that the copyright issues, or the copyright to the uniform, it belonged to George Lucas, but it was had ended after 10 years because costumes only have a protection for 10 years. Then it's free.
Oh, okay.
So it was a real expensive trial for this man who made these uniforms, or made the first molds for these uniforms. And he became totally bankrupt. But he got the right to actually do new uniforms. And he does it, and he sells them. And to actually pay off his debt to this for this trial. But I think he makes money off it today. But it's the mold in itself for this original stormtrooper helmet, it's actually free, or he has the right to actually do copies of it and sell it. So knowing that, it's the helmet actually has its own story.
Mm-hmm.
So the stormtrooper in itself is kind of a person you don't know anything about. He doesn't have a face. He doesn't have any feelings. He has only one role. That is to kill rebels and find the rebel scums and kill them, or find the droids and kill them, or bring them to Darth Vader. And in that role, they don't have any personality. So they are kind of a figure without a personality, so you can fill it with whatever you want to. And that appealed to me. I realized that I loved this helmet, and I loved the fact that he didn't express any feelings. So I could use his body to make him happy, sad, in love, or just a father playing with his child, or whatever. And that made me work with the Stormtrooper as a figure that actually could express something besides being this soldier for evil. And the fact that it is part of the bad side or the dark side also appealed to me, because who is evil and who is good, and who decides who is on the dark side and the bright side? Isn't it only a matter of how we look at things?
Yep.
And that is something that I have thought a lot about. And so the Stormtrooper also became a symbol for that, that aspect, to talk about evil and good, who's bad, who's not.
I love that. And I shoot a lot with Stormtroopers too, just for the same reasons you listed, just how expressionless they are, and that kind of makes them a blank template for whatever you want to do. And I love that you've gone even deeper into that with the whole balance between good and evil. I think that's amazing.
But I didn't realize that. It kind of came to me by working with this figure, realizing that this had been a big issue for me for years. I'm studying the Holocaust and really thought about ordinary men. Aren't they only ordinary men? And we fill them with all these symbols because we look at them from one perspective. But if we look at them in another perspective, they are just ordinary people. And the people working for the dark side during the Second World War, they were also ordinary people with families, with children, an ordinary life. So knowing that, I had to put that into my figure as well, in my imagery.
Can you talk a little bit about your photographic process? We talked a little bit about your studio and how you like to use natural light.
About my style. What would I say? If I look at my imagery and kind of look at those images that I have done, I would say that I really like working with backlight. I prefer lighting my subject from behind. I like, in the technical sense, I work with high key, really bright images with the kind of not that much color. I really love colors, but in my imagery, I wouldn't say there is a lot of color in the sense that it's bright or really takes up a lot of the... It's both in the Stormtrooper series and in the Leia series, I have preferred to work with them as symbols. I prefer to work with figures that don't have faces, and you all people know that Leia has a face, but I have preferred to put that face, not so that the viewer sees her face, but they see her from behind or in profile, because I want the viewer to look at this figure and see something besides what it's supposed to be from the context that we know them. We know Leia as a princess, beautiful, with these cinnamon buns on her head, but I want them to look further and see themselves, or see the journey, or the longing, or the need to belong in some context. I would say a lot of my imagery is also about ordinary life, especially the Stormtrooper series is a lot about the parent and the child and the ordinary life, going to the kindergarten or playing outside, making a hula hoop or whatever they're called in English, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that definitely comes through your photography. I love what you said about Leia and how, even though she is somebody who we, you know, we recognize her a very specific way, and she is somebody with a face and with emotion, but you've flipped that on its head and really, you know, you kind of turned her into a stormtrooper too, using that same kind of message, but just applying it to a different figure. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, and I think I've really thought about the princess aspect of Princess Leia. I've thought about, I'm trying actually to put on the ordinary princess stories of the frog and the ring and the search for love.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if those images are online, I'm not sure, but I have done a long series of images with her and Han Solo. And in my vision, and maybe I don't get that, maybe the viewer won't get that, but my vision is that she becomes the prince in the traditional fairy tale, looking for the princess, and he is the sleeping princess in the coffin, waiting for the princess to kiss him and he'll come to life. And I really like that, giving them different roles than they usually have in the fairy tale, where the princess is only waiting for the lover, waiting for love. Instead, I want her to be the one searching and finding, and maybe actually be able to make the frog into a prince. She is trying to do that. She's trying to be active, not just a passive, waiting figure.
How did you first meet Shelley and get involved with her and the whole toy photographers thing? Let's go there. How did you guys meet?
Yeah, I met Shelley in Stockholm, actually, in Vaxholm, when she was part of the Stuck in Plastic group. And they had this toy photography safari or whatever it was called. I had never heard of them. I've never heard of this Stuck in Plastic blog. I had this friend in Sweden. His name is Christopher East Mountain, I think it's called online.
Oh, yeah.
And he actually sent me a message and said, are you coming to the safari in Vaxholm? Because I really want to meet. And we hadn't actually had opportunity to meet one another, even though we just live an hour away. So we could actually just get together whenever, but we didn't. So I said, yeah, I'll go. And later on, I decided to go, and I met Christopher, and on the same safari, I met Shelley for the first time. And I wouldn't say that it was love at first sight. No, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't even say that we actually connected during that safari. They were kind of a tight group, the Stuck in Plastic people, and I'm not that social in social media, even though maybe I should, but I'm not. So I didn't actually know any one of these people. I hadn't met them on Instagram, and I only knew Christopher because he had reached out to me through my photography a year before, whatever. So I kind of stuck to my end of the side of the table, and they kind of seemed to know one another. And when I went home, I said, this was nice, but they have their thing and I have my thing. It took 2 or 3 weeks, and then Shelley reached out and said, can't you be a writer for our blog? Can't you actually share some of your insights on photography? It has grown from that. Me saying, I do my thing, you do your thing. Interested though, but I can do that. And there it started, my relationship with Shelley. And today I would say she's one of my closest friends when it comes to both toy photography and photography. She's a really close friend to mine. She's been to Sweden twice to see me and my family, and I've been to Seattle twice to see her. So I would really say that it has grown from that. me saying, I do my thing, you do your thing.
What was it like going from, or traveling to America for that toy photo safari in Seattle? What was that experience like?
When I work with my photography, I usually work around 50 meters around where I live. I live in a suburb to Stockholm. I work in the playground where the children plays. I work in the parking lot. I work really in a small area where I know the light. I know where to set up my toys. I know when to go out. I know how the light will fall on them. I know exactly what I want to do. So doing a toy photography is actually totally out of my comfort zone, because then I come to a place, I don't know anything about the light, I don't know anything about the places I'll go to, I don't know anything about what will I be able to do here, and upon that I usually work with one or two toys. I don't have a variety of subjects that I actually use, and if I use a variety of subjects, they usually stay on my computer as ideas, me looking at them thinking, maybe if I work with this in a setting of 20, 30, 50 images, I'll find something that I'm interested in. So from that perspective, it's a challenge to do photography in that context. I usually don't do that much photography, but I'm really interested in, I think it's really fun to be around people doing photography, because I learn so much by looking at how other people actually take upon a place and a setting and ideas. And I love lurking around. I see myself as a lurker, looking and thinking, oh, that's a way I could, maybe I could try that. I'll try that back home. And from my perspective, I was lucky because I had been to Seattle before. So I knew some of the spots, and I really love the Mont Eyre, I think it is. I love the light there. It's so blue, gray, greenish, and so different from where I usually take photos. So it was fun, but it's also difficult, because it comes some sort of expectations that you will take a lot of images and you will come home and everybody will say, oh wow, I really like that, or they, yeah. But I usually don't come back with a lot of images. It's interesting. It's really, I learn a lot, and I actually learn a lot about myself, especially my way of working and ways that I could actually try doing photography.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. And, you know, I think, like you said, the expectation is, yeah, you're going to come back home with hundreds of pictures and you're going to have, going to upload it all to social media. But I think that just that lurking, observing, learning aspect is actually super important. So it's cool that you get that too from doing those safaris and traveling and shooting around other people.
Yeah, but I'm really so impressed with people building all these big scenes and explosions and using smoke. And I think, oh, I wish I were that person that actually had the opportunity, or maybe the willingness to do that. But I always come to the conclusion, maybe that's not me. Maybe some other time, maybe in another context. No, I won't do that. But I love that people do it, and I'm so impressed.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things, it's like, just because you don't do it doesn't mean you can't appreciate that somebody else does, you know?
No, and I really love the way I get a sneak peek behind the scenes, how these amazing images are coming to life.
You mentioned Stuck in Plastic, and this year Shelley split off from Stuck in Plastic, started Toy Photographers, and you came with her. Can you talk about what that was like? Did she come to you and say, hey, I'm doing this thing, do you want to join me, or what was that like?
From my point of view, I knew, I don't know what I'm supposed to say and not to say, what's the secret and not, so I'll just blunt it out and she'll they can get mad at me. No, but I saw that the situation in Stuck in Plastic were kind of tense. And so when Shelley said, I really want to leave and do my own blog, I said, do it. I think you should, because you are such a good person to make a community, and around you people seem to enjoy, and you seem to get people to share their passion with you. So I really think you should do your own blog. And she was hesitating because she didn't have the technical skills. So I actually said, I'll put it online. I'll put the WordPress site up, and you just have to fill it with content. So my part, my small part is actually that I put the WordPress online, and that's 5 minutes work or whatever. I also said that I would write at least for a while, because she wasn't sure that she would get people to join in, but I was positive that she would, because the energy and the community that she actually creates around her is always so huge. She seems mm-hmm. to get people to really get involved with her passion. So she has this ability to get people to want to share.
Yeah.
So what would I say? I joined, but English isn't my first language. I'm a Swede. I prefer writing in Swedish. I prefer not writing about my images at all. I prefer to be kind of silent, thinking that people see what I want to say in the imagery, and the imagery can speak for themselves. Shelley mm-hmm. usually say, that's not really true. I have to let people know some of the clues so they can see more in the images. I've been kind of a lazy part. I haven't done any hard work on the blog. I've written a post or two every month. I know I have done Saturdays next to you, I think, back to back with you.
yeah, that's how I remember when it's like, I'll see one of your posts, be like, okay, so I'm next.
Yeah, that's the same. I think, oh, James has read this, next week is mine.
Yep.
No, but I think it's really difficult to write about it. I think it's difficult to put words on what you do in the process of doing photography. It's so much thought into it, and it kind of gets lost in translation between the image and the words. I don't seem to get it all out when I write about it.
I can understand that, especially like you said, if you want people to take their own meaning from your photos or see them instead of hear what you have to say about them. I can understand that.
That's really interesting. You say that I want people to see the image the way I do it, the way I've thought about it. And when I get people to see my images, they usually only talk about what they actually know about it. They talk about the Stormtrooper, they talk about Leia, and they talk about the carbonite, and they say, press the defreeze button. And for me, there is no defreeze button. Because he isn't Han Solo in the Star Wars saga. He's the prince from Snow White, lying in the glass coffin. And maybe I ought to tell people that that is my vision, and I can transfer that to them instead of getting all disappointed because they only see the Star Wars saga. But on the other hand, I can live with the fact that they only see Han Solo and Leia and the fantasy that George Lucas has made through his films.
Yeah, I can see that that might be tough, actually, dealing with such iconic characters that have built-in story already. People just assume that you're recreating something or that you're talking about Star Wars, but really you're talking about something else. So I could see how that balance might be a little difficult.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Yeah.
Let's talk a bit about what's coming up for you. You're stepping away from the blog. And do you have any projects planned for 2018, or what's next for you?
Oh, I don't think I have any project plan, not toy photography In the toy photography context. Yeah, I have a project. I'm sorry. I do have a project. And it's all about toy photography as well. I actually has this... I got this question if I could do working with norm critics and images about... looking at toys and the possibilities that toys could do stuff that we usually don't see them do, like armed hero take care of children, or could a princess be the brave hero in some other context. So I'm going to do a series around that.
That's awesome. And that seems kind of in line with your vision anyway, so that seems like a cool natural progression for you.
Yeah, I'm really proud to get the question of these people asking me to do this. Couldn't you do this? And we could talk about gender and toys. And I said, yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. I can't wait to see it. You did a big project this year. You did a 365 project, and you did a thing around reflections. Can you talk about what that was like? Was the challenge of doing a 365 and shooting every day or posting every day, what was that like?
Now, when I'm only 4 or 5 days away from doing this 365 project, I would say that I've done 365 projects before, so this isn't my first. And in my first one, I really thought the challenge was to do the image every day, doing 365 image and actually coming up with a good idea. I took it so seriously. I did it with all my heart. I haven't done that this year. I have done 365 images, or I have done a lot more. I have done so many images. I can't even start to count, because most of them isn't even public. They are only on a hard drive. But I have done a lot of images. The hard thing isn't doing the images. And maybe I should have had higher expectation on myself, trying to be more innovative in my settings or my images, or trying to make new ideas. I haven't done that. I have settled with the sunflowers and a toy and a Leia, or a teddy or Leia. But the reflection one, because the 365 has actually just been me trying to hold up for doing a 52 weeks project around reflections. Mm-hmm. So every Sunday during this 365 project, I have actually gone out to find somewhere where I can do a reflection with a toy, either in a puddle or on ice or in a window or a bus stop, I think, or in the one early I did it through some sort of candy box with a Death Star. And that has been a challenge, trying to find days when it isn't raining, days when it's in the night and I haven't done the images, and finding a reflection. That has been a challenge, to do the reflections. Doing a reflection like a mirror, because I have actually looked at it as a reflection of the toy. It has to be some sort of reflection in the image. Mm-hmm. And that has been fun. It's been a challenge and it's been fun because I had this narrow, really slim framework. And I like that, because then the creativity to actually make the image work gets a bit more edgy. The reflection part of the 365 has been a challenge, but the doing one image a day has been not such a big challenge, because I know I can do that. I have done that before. I know it's all about scheduling and deciding and actually settle for good enough, not trying to make a masterpiece every day. But around those days, when the sun is right, when the weather is nice, there are some masterpieces. There are some images that I really, 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 really like. And I think, oh, I can't do anything better than this. This must be the best one I have ever done.
I love that feeling when you take a picture and you're like, this is the best picture I've ever taken. Yeah. That feels really good.
Yeah, that's the feeling is amazing. But there must be, I've thought about that as well, because when you feel that and you look at the images on your computer and you realize this is so good, I can't do anything better than this. Even though you have done that, in a 365 imagery, you go out the next day or you try to do an image the day after as well. And sometimes the day after actually becomes even better.
Is that why you do a 365? Like, what was the reason why you wanted to do picture every day? Was it because you're chasing after that learning experience? Or
no, I realized that if I'm going to do a 52 weeks project is an image once a week. And during the week, I will forget that I'm supposed to do this on Sunday. And every Sunday, I'll wake up and I won't remember it until late in the evening, and I won't make the effort to make really good images. So I had to fill the week with poor images or images that worked to actually have the strength and take the effort to actually try to do something better on Sundays. So, but there is some sort of idea around that if I keep it going, I won't forget, and I will actually make a better image at least once a week.
Wow, that's super interesting. I would have never thought of that, because I think an image a day would be so tiring that by Sunday I'd be like, I don't want to do another one. But I like that you use it the opposite, that you're kind of motivating yourself.
But there are days when I really think it's so boring, and I think I have already done all the images that I ever can do with this toy. But I still do it.
Yeah. Thank you so much for talking to me. One last thing. Where can people, you said you're not really social on social media, but where can people find your work if they're looking for it?
If they're looking for it, my Leia images are on Instagram, where I'm called Calix Sanderson. My Stormtrooper is mainly on Flickr, where my Flickr nick is also Calix Sanderson.
Thank you again for talking to me. This was an awesome conversation.
Yeah.
Like I said, I remember meeting you in Seattle and not talking much. I even was like in a car with you and Shelley for an hour or two when you guys were taking me back to the train, and you guys were talking and I was mostly silent. So I really appreciate the conversation. This was really fun.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for listening. You can find new episodes of this podcast and daily articles on creativity and toy photography on our website, toyphotographers.com. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. We also ask that you please leave us a 5-star review. That'll help spread the word about the show and help us get noticed. You can find us on Facebook at Toy Photographers and on Instagram at _toyphotographers_. Music for this week's episode is by Chris Zabriskie, Blue Dot Sessions, Poddington Bear, and Lee Rosevere, courtesy of freemusicarchive.org. And finally, you can reach out to us with comments, concerns, recommendations, etc. at toyphotographypod@gmail.com. I'm James Garcia. Thanks for listening. I'll see you guys next week.